Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 712. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is on the floor down beside me. The three-legged feline. I'm going to do a pause at some point, as I'm going to start the show now, as it's 9:49 in the morning, and then pick it up again later after I come back. That was the plan, because I didn't hop to it quick enough to be able to record one fast enough before I go to the Viking Fest here in Festus, Missouri, as Four Brothers Mead. Gonna go with my friend Pee-wee. And I don't have any Viking clothes. we'll see. I'm trying to find info on it. I've not been to one before. I'm gonna feel a little weird. I'm not wearing anything for that, but Pee-wee isn't either. From what I understand, I believe his girlfriend is going as well, and it's going to be a warm one. It's currently like 57 degrees Fahrenheit, we'll see how that goes. I don't know how long we're going. We're leaving at 10:30 a.m. So I'm gonna be stopping this. I'll be pausing here shortly. I'm excited to see the blacksmith stuff they got going on. that is something. I can see it. I want to see a sword get forged. I don't know that I'll buy one. I shouldn't. Still planning on buying that Ash Williams bust. Haven't heard back from the Etsy dealer. I was just waiting for him to like post it again, because he says he makes those like indefinitely, essentially. But he's working on four different new ones. So I didn't want to hassle him because he's in the process of that. But I'll probably message him in like, I don't know. If I don't hear back in like another week, I'll probably message him, because I do really want that bust. I feel like that's, you know, just going to look so nice in the old dining room area, to have a bust of Mr. Bruce Campbell laying on me table. I'm going to try not to buy a sword, but I want to watch him forge one. let's see what all they got at the 6th annual Sigurblot Viking Festival. It's the Viking Festival in Missouri, Four Brothers Mead Viking Fest. Looking for a Viking festival in Missouri? Join us at Four Brothers Mead for a full day Norse celebration featuring live Viking combat, artisan vendors, mead tastings, fire performances. Oh, I like me some fire performances. My buddy Toddy, he used to do poi, where you spin the fire. He did that a lot. He was really good at it. And it has family-friendly activities. Our annual Viking festival brings authentic reenactment. I can't speak. It's too early in the morning. Handcrafted goods and traditional mead culture to Jefferson County, just a short drive from St. Louis. St. Louis. I don't know why I'm saying it like that. Let's see here. This is what is the Four Brothers Mead Viking Festival? Da, 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 da. It's curated, gathering rooted in historical Viking combat demonstrations, Norse culture and storytelling. Are we going to raid a village? handcrafted artisan goods, traditional and modern mead, fire and live music, blah, blah, blah. Okay, the live Viking combat and historical demonstrations. Watch experienced reenactors demonstrate steel weapon combat, shield wall tactics, Viking armor and battle gear, educational historical talks. I feel like the shield wall tactics are going to be helpful in case a zombie apocalypse does break out. I feel like shield fighting would be very strong in fighting zombies. Particularly the ancient Roman shield tactics. I feel like they would have done really well against a zombie horde. Just saying. it won't do any good to prevent the nuclear war that we, I guess, you know, it didn't happen Tuesday. Didn't happen Tuesday, though the president of Venezuela/America threatened it. Threatened, you know, annihilating the Iranian civilization. And I guess we're putting a hold on that for the moment. Cool. So we'll have to get a rain check on the nuclear winter. I don't think a shield's going to help you in a nuclear wasteland. Though maybe. I doubt it protects you against nuclear fallout, you know, like radiation and such. Maybe it's a body shield. Anyway, Mead Festival Experience. As one of Missouri's dedicated meaderies, Four Brothers Mead brings the heart of ancient Nordic tradition to life. At the festival, you'll enjoy core Four Brothers Mead pours, festival exclusive small batch releases, limited bottle offerings, horn fills encouraged. But I guess you have to have a horn to do so. Mead is the oldest known fermented beverage, and the Vikings drank it in their halls. Our festival honors that tradition. If you're searching for a mead festival in Missouri, this is the event to attend. Artisan Viking Market. Our vendor village features handcrafted goods such as blacksmithing, leatherwork, Viking jewelry, hand-forged blades, woodcraft, Norse-inspired art. We prioritize quality craftsmanship and authentic aesthetic, making this a top destination for those seeking authentic Viking culture in Missouri. Here we go. Let's get to the event schedule. Festival begins at noon. Combat demonstrations to be determined. So I guess fights could break out at any time. Artisan market open all day. Music and performances to be determined. Full schedule will be posted prior to the event. How soon? We're 2 hours out. I thought there'd be more. Info on here about. I know you can watch or see. I guess it was their Facebook page that had more of the breakdown of shit. Because I know, there's axe throwing, which apparently they have an axe depot here in Washington that apparently shut down. You can do axe throwing. I missed out. I didn't do it. There's a forge area here on the map. And I did read that you could, of course, watch a sword get forged, which I'm all for that, yo. All for that. I like things being created. And all the the Four Brothers Mead Instagram looks to be AI art, damn it. Although maybe not. but yeah. So I got that. I'm doing that today. I'm curious to see how this turns out. I've never been to a Renaissance fair / Viking festival. Never, not once. I know my friend John Cash is big into going there. I'll probably see him later. I'm gonna bet he's probably gonna be there. I do believe this is one of the ones that he attends, which I don't think there's a whole lot of those around here. But we'll see. We'll see. It's gonna be. Imagine Pee-wee's getting here before too long here. I'll record a little bit longer and just gonna see what happens. Well, I had other shit I was gonna talk about, but kind of blanking, as I am just kind of thinking about this Viking Fest, you know. Again, I'm gonna pretend like I'm not gonna buy a sword. Yeah, I'm gonna hopefully not buy a sword. Like shit. You know, if I watch, I know that if I watch the you know, somebody craft a sword, I'm gonna be encouraged to buy one. So, It's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough, not to do that. But it's gonna be, I would imagine, hundreds of dollars, if not, you know, close to a grand to buy a forged sword like that. Maybe I get him to do a small little dagger, maybe like a paper cutter, like a one you'd just a letter opener, if you will, like a tiny little dagger. Can I get that for like $50? Forge that for me. But hey, we get to watch Armored Combat. And hopefully I don't partake in that. I feel like that could go wrong. That could be a little tricky, as I am not experienced in Viking combat. Or I guess, I mean, I used to play with sword. I had a ninja sword for a while. It was a cheap one that was like maybe $20, if that. That I got it at a mall or something. I don't remember where I bought it from. This is like over 20 years ago that I'd bought this thing. So my recollection of it, and honestly, I don't know what the fuck ever happened to that. Probably got left out in New Haven when I moved out of there, or, you know, I don't know. I don't know what happened to that that sword. The katana, the cheap katana that I had. I didn't cut a lot of stuff with it. I remember I cut an old pumpkin that was used for Halloween, and just like, you know, got to slash that. There might have been some other things that we decided to cut up. But I would just swing it into the air sort of thing. But I didn't actually practice like real technique with it or fight anybody else with the sword. There was never a robber that came to my house and I had to battle them with the sword. Never came down to that. Kind of sad, you know, kind of sad. Wish I could have had some ninjas try to invade my home so that I could test my real skills. After watching, you know, I grew up on ninja movies. It was the height of that in like the 80s and early 90s. It was, of course, American Ninja with Michael Dudikoff. And, you know, then you got like the cheesy kid ones with the three ninjas and three ninjas kickback. And Gymkata, which Shelley apparently bought me a poster. I believe he may have gotten it, or he's getting it soon. He bought it for my birthday. As Pee-wee's getting ready to come here. And, well, so I know he's about to head on his way. I think it's probably about maybe 15 minutes at the most for him to get here. So I would imagine I'll probably be seeing it about 10, 15, 10 to 20-ish, somewhere around there, if I had to guess. We shall see. So I guess I should probably get to the mid-break here, which I'm only about 14 minutes in. Yeah, it's a shame I never got to battle ninjas after growing up on ninja movies. And, of course, I was, you know, grew up on Van Damme, although not exactly a ninja. But the ninja slash, like, martial art films were, of course, a big part of my childhood. I just watched TV all the time, to be honest, and movies. So it wasn't just like one genre, but that was a big genre in that smorgasbord of entertainment that I watched as a youth, as a ute. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. I'm going to say that I will most likely not buy a sword. These are going to be like Viking type stuff, apparently. So I'm going to assume that, you know, the only thing that might get me is if they have like a Kill Bill sword. Because I thought that would look good downstairs with, you know, all my movie stuff going on. A Kill Bill sword. What is the name? Oh, shit. Sonny Chiba's character in Kill Bill that makes the swords. Damn it. Hitari Hanzo. Yeah. If there's any Hitari Hanzo blades, I might be in trouble. Give me a Hitari Hanzo. Yeah. Arigato. Domo arigato. You know, thank you very much. Domo arigato. That's like all the Japanese I know. I love Japanese names, though. Hitari Hanzo. Fantastic names. Fantastic names. Yeah, that will be a tough call. But again, if we're talking like multiple hundreds of dollars, I can't justify that. Even if it is that. Work has cut more of our production, or of our bonuses, not the production bonus. Thankfully, that's currently still intact. So, but safety and attendance bonuses are all gone. So that's a couple of grand I will be missing this year. So I got to be a little bit more mindful of of that. I did make $15,000 off of about-ish on production bonuses, so hopefully they don't cut that. That'll be a massive cut in pay. Huge cut in pay. But the way it's going there, they might. They just might do that. But we don't need to go down that road. We don't need to go down that road. I doubt any of the higher-ups there where I work or listening to this. But, you know, don't want to badmouth company on the podcast here. it's wonderful times we're living in, you know, as gas prices insanely go through the roof and the cost of everything, and it's harder to find jobs. It's just rough for everyone. But... you know, because of that, it might be a good idea to get a sword. Just saying. And just in case when shit does hit the fan really bad here that I might have ninjas or just poor people with a sword or a knife. I mean, if they have a gun, I don't know how well I'm going to battle them with a sword. But maybe that steel working strength will be enough to overpower them and just catch them off guard. Although, you know, if I stand on top of the stairs, because they'll come in downstairs, there's no way for them to get in upstairs. So if I hear them come in the downstairs, you know, and then just launch the sword at them from those stairs while they don't see me, that could be a thing. I feel like that would be, you know, a little hard to do, especially since, like, there wouldn't be any straight drop for me to do, like, down the stairs. It's at a very steep angle. It would be a bit challenging. But at least this way, you know, I don't own a gun. I don't intend on buying one. But, you know, you shoot, and then it's going to go through the wall. It's shared walls with the neighbors. Then I'm going to have to pay for it and all of that. Not to mention, I'll probably kill the person. Unless it's a very small caliber bullet, I guess. You definitely don't want to shoot somebody with a shotgun inside your house. That's going to be a huge mess. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of blood, I imagine, if you hit them with a fucking sword. Like, throw them with it. You know, stab them with it. Like, it could be a real gusher. These are, you know... I'm just thankful it's just not something that usually happens. People breaking in here. It hasn't happened yet. Knock on some wood. Though I don't know that that's wood. I think there's wood on the inside, and the outside's like this carbon fiber shit. But I think there's like particle wood in the inside. I don't know. I'm not certain on any of that. But yeah, I guess I'll have more to talk about once I return from the Viking Fest. And we shall see what happens, my friends. So we shall continue this later, but it'll seem like no time has passed. Until then. And I'm back. It's been over 12 hours since I last recorded. And I'm pretty tired. It's 10:35 at night currently. It's right at about 12 hours. I don't remember exactly what time I stopped recording, but yeah, I made it out to the Viking Fest there in Festus by Four Brothers Mead puts that on. I did try some mead, did their flight, and I like their apple pie mead the best. I'm not a big mead drinker, but I did enjoy that one. I believe it was the apple pie. And I didn't buy a bottle, but I did not buy a sword. They had plenty of swords. There was axes. They had a blacksmith. They weren't forging swords, I don't think. I think they were mainly making knives over there, because they had railroad spike knives, which were pretty cool. Pretty cool. They were the ones they were like making there. Those I think were pretty expensive. I did find. There was some Kill Bill swords. I'm pretty sure they didn't have Kill Bill like written on it. And Hitari Hanzo, of course, is the name of the blade builder there in Kill Bill. And he had his like signature on the swords in the movie. And those were not on there, so it wasn't like an official copy or anything. It wasn't it was like $50, which, you know, a year ago would have been like $5 with inflation. But there was they did not have it wasn't like it was a cheaper sword, which I would love to have a real like accurate Kill Bill sword, because I did think about that for a while, about putting that on display in, you know, my downstairs sword. Let's see here. Let's find like a real nice one. Oh yeah, there's one for like for Hundo that's pretty nice. That's what looks way more accurate. The stuff on the I don't know what you want to call that, the design on the blade. I don't know, design is the pattern on the steel from where they forged it. Looks nicer, and of course they've got this one's, they got the Hitari Hanzo symbol like that he put on it. Yeah, I don't know, like looking at it, if that was even true. Like replica. I mean, I think it was sort of a replica of the swords. I mean, I found one for $179 here on TrueKatana.com, and it by this picture looks pretty decent. Is that like a red blade? What do we got here? It is Damascus, folded Damascus steel. So that is not what the original blade looked like, I don't believe. It is, I don't know if I like that with the Damascus steel. But I mean, there's a bunch of options for getting it online. There's, $485 on eBay. That's a bit rough. That's a bit much. Although this is two different ones. This is a set, the Devil Bride Kill Bill sword set, Japanese. Which I guess is the original Hitari Hanzo that she had, right? And then the one she gets from Hatari Hanzo when she travels there after she's decided she's going to kill Bill. After Bill, of course, tried to kill her. And the one's got the devil face on it. Which actually, I think that's Bill's sword. Is the one with the devil face on it. Which I guess that's not really Hatari Hanzo's signature. It's just that he carved stuff in it at the... I don't know if they ever get into why that... put the items on it. The one's like a lion statue, like carved into it. You know, I don't remember in the movie that they got too involved. Maybe I need to watch Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair, which I do have on Amazon Prime, but I should maybe watch that to get an idea of just what why the, you know, because I don't remember, like, in the original films that there was a lot of explanation of why he put those certain carvings in there. But perhaps there is, or maybe just in the full version of The Whole Bloody Affair, where it's all together. Just a big, big, big cluster of goodness that I've yet to watch. I do love me some Hatari Hanzo, though. Sonny Chiba, I believe it's who played him. The great Sonny Chiba. There's some cool ones. I don't know. You know, that's... I can't... I can't spend $300 to $400 on a sword that I'm just going to hang on my wall. Although it would look cool. I may still eventually... get, I was thinking, of course, of possibly getting... we don't want that. There's a bunch of audio blasting in my ears that I don't think is on the recording. You might hear it slightly. But again, yeah, what I was going to say is I was thinking about getting an axe that looked like a, and not spending like $400 on one. Because the one in the, an axe like that's in The Shining, which the one in The Shining, I don't think is a real expensive axe. And I just think it would look great I'm getting calls for Arc Raiders. I got my teams calling me, damn it. I'm trying to... My teammates calling me, but I'm trying to finish this podcast. Son of a bitch. kind of in the middle of some stuff. Anyway, I'm trying to finish this up. Yeah, the axe from The Shining. I thought about getting that and put an axe display case. I think I talked about this on the podcast before, like doing it where I have the Shining stuff painted on the wall. And if I fuck it up too, because again, I'm not finished painting that up there, as it's taken me a long time to finish that. But if I get me some of, you know, that done, I get the axe, and then of course I get an axe display case, then I could put that over that pattern, and then of course I'd really have to fucking bolt that fucker into the wall. it's heavy. I wouldn't want that falling off the wall, so I'd have to go into some studs. And then I'd run into the problem where, you know, I'd have to, like, when I did the hockey puck display case, you know, centering it on the wall would be kind of difficult because trying to get it into studs and whatnot, it could be a real problem. But it would be cool to have the Shining axe. Maybe I don't even have to put it on the wall. Just, like, have it to where I could take pictures in front of the wall. Dress like Jack Nicholson. I see on Amazon that I can get the... corduroy jacket that he has in The Shining, that is Jack Nicholson, of course, Jack Torrance in the movie. I can get that corduroy jacket he wears And, of course, I could, you know, wear that, have the axe in front of me. I feel like I'm destined, making it more to where, you know, it's possible that, you know, I could go batshit crazy and, like, murder a bunch of people. I'd rather not do that, you know? but I feel like if I do that, you know, that, you know, just keep dressing like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, keep painting this pattern, put that, get that axe. Like I'm, you know, drawing myself further towards it, moving myself in that general direction. But I'm not a violent person. I don't see myself ever like murdering a bunch of people. That's, you know, that's good. I don't feel that in any way, shape, or form. But, yeah, we'll see. I don't know that I'll buy that axe. It just seemed like a cheap thing. We'll see. Again, it's just going to depend on how I feel about how that pattern looks. Like, if I feel like maybe I should cover over parts of it, then perhaps I'll get it. And, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's going to look pretty decent. I'm going to have to touch up areas, I would imagine, before I'm done. It's just going to probably be a thing to have to touch up a lot of spots. I know that going over it and taping for the black, it definitely appears I really look in those lines, licking those lines. Son of a bitch. Looking at those lines, I definitely see that a lot of those red hexagons aren't real perfect. That's for sure. I blame the stencil. I blame the stencil. But I don't think you really notice it when you're just looking at it from afar. I think it's more of a problem when I get up to it, get up on that thing, you know what I'm saying? And really look at it up close. So I don't think, you know, that, again, I don't think it will be that noticeable. Once all said and done, I think I'll be all right, but I guess we'll see. I got a sword page opened up and I'm closing it because I don't see myself buying a katana again. I had a cheap one at one point, but I didn't make any big purchases of items like that at the Viking Fest. But I did, I forgot I ordered a book from Amazon that I have not gotten yet. But I had, I got some really great food from there. I did have the flight from Four Brothers Mead of the Mead, and I got, I don't remember the name of the food truck. They had several food trucks there. I love good food trucks, man. I'm a huge fan of the food trucks. And I got me a lobster melt that was fucking amazing. I wish I could remember the name of the food truck. But that lobster melt was fantastic. I mean, it was pricey. It was $15 for the lobster melt. And then I ate too much food. I also bought, for only like $12, the bomb tots. It was, tater tots with, pulled chicken, covered in Nashville hot sauce. And, there was cheese over that and ranch. And, they had pickles that were habanero and something else. The pickles were tasty, man. The pickles were really tasty. I feel like there was like a bit too much of the chicken, and I feel like maybe I should have stirred it around a little bit because like I was just eating the outside first on one side, and then I got to the middle, and that's where all the chicken was. It was like one big clump. I feel like I didn't need quite as much chicken. Like it was maybe half that amount of chicken. Although maybe had I not eaten the lobster melt with it, it would have been all right. But it was pretty cool. They had, I went, of course, with my buddy, old buddy Pee Wee that I used to work with, and, his girlfriend Emma, and, they drove. So, you know, that was cool. I didn't have to drive. bit of a drive, a little over an hour from here, but they had glass blowing. We did see some glass blowing. There was people spinning fire. We didn't really watch any of the fire. They were the blowing glass. We watched that a little bit, and they had fights with knights in full out on armor, and they were hitting each other with swords and maces. I imagine they weren't sharp, but I mean they were steel, and they were hitting each other as hard as they could. Of course, they had, again, full armor, the full helmets, the full suit of armor, and but they were really hitting each other. Of course, they weren't stabbing, you know, they weren't losing limbs. But I think one guy might have broken his nose, and there were people with, like, serious injuries. And I had to wonder, like, I had to think, like, man, I hope these guys have really good insurance, you know, because... you're getting serious injuries from that shit. It was kind of cool to watch. We watched several rounds of it, and yeah, they were really going at it. You could hear it from quite a distance away when they would hit each other. It looked like it would be pretty fun to do, but again, you're going to get some possible serious injuries from it. And yeah, I wouldn't want to pay for that doctor's visit. I don't like going to the doctor just for a cold, man. I don't want to break my nose from getting into a night fight. I don't think there was any option for anybody to just, you know, any regular Joe off the street to go up and take part in the night fights. But they had a lot of cool stuff for sale. They had some interesting art. I didn't buy any, but there was some cool art. I didn't see anything like thought that like, ooh, that would look good. There was a possible they had a couple cat paintings that I was possibly considering. There was one that was a cat reading a book and learning to live with idiots. And of course, you know, the implication that would be that I would be the idiot. So I thought that would be a fitting. Cause you know, it really is the cat dealing with my dumbass is really the thing here. Cause Fox here really runs the show. It's, not really my thing, but yeah, Pee Wee and Emma did stop in and get to see my place afterwards, and they both seemed to really enjoy what I did with the place. I do find that, you know, encouraging when I have other people come in, which is rare. I don't have many people over. It's happening more frequently here since I've, you know, got a lot more done. I would imagine I'll, you know, make more of a thing of it at some point. Having people over, but when I keep finding more shit to do, like painting the walls, and I don't have everything quite put together, you know, because my kitchen is still a huge mess, which is, if you're going to have people over, you really need to, you know, have some food ready, and having your kitchen torn apart is kind of a drag on that. So I feel like I'll be doing a lot more of that once I finish the kitchen thing. We'll see, though. We shall see. But yeah, we went to the Viking Fest and then stopped by the casino afterwards. We went to River City Casino because that was the closest one to the Viking Fest. I think I've been to River City before, but I'm not certain. I think I was getting mixed up when we were going there with the Hollywood Casino. It looks very similar on the outside, and yeah, I didn't win there any, but I only played with $30. So $30, not that big of a deal, not a big loss. I didn't, you know, take out a second mortgage on the house or another home equity loan. Can't speak right now. Pee Wee and I couldn't find our machine, our go-to machine. We need to, I guess, go back to Ameristar at some point, where that I went to the casino a few times with them, but it's been a few years, I guess, at this point. We went to Ameristar on multiple occasions, and our machine was Dragon Spin. They didn't have Dragon Spin at River City Casino, but they had Frankenstein one, which I didn't end up jumping on, I don't think. I was going to at one point, but that one was a popular one. That I played, I know, at the Hollywood Casino. I like the Frankenstein one. But jumped around on a few different ones. Pee-wee hit the Wizard of Oz one, which looked kind of cool. I got up for a little bit. I don't remember on which machine. We found that Dragon Link was, according online, said it was close to Dragon Spin, but playing it, I don't know. Pee-wee was playing that one, and I played Phoenix Link, which was pretty much the same game, except for it was a Phoenix instead of a Link. Phoenix instead of a Dragon. They were both Links. Anyway. Neither one of us walked out with winning any money, but neither one of us really spent a whole lot. So usually if I'm going to win some money at a casino, I got to drop, be willing to drop at least 100 before I can start seeing a little bit of some gains. I was up for a little bit. I lost a little bit and then I came back up. I won like $20 or something at one point. But yeah, I ended up just spending what little I had left on my voucher instead of cashing out. And calling it a day. But then again, of course, after I got home, I left not too long after that. So poor Fox here, Agent Fox Mulder, was left home most of the day. But don't worry, I made it up to him. After I got done cleaning his litter box, I gave him a churu, the like liquid treat that's kind of like a delectable that comes in a tube, and he loves those things. So I buy his love back after cleaning the old litter box. I didn't do that, of course. I left again right after Pee-wee and Emma checked out my place, which they both seemed to love the cat, which Pee-wee had met Fox before, but he's pretty awesome, though he can be a dick. He can be a biter. I think because I was gone so long that he was just being extra lovey, being into the rubbing up against you sort of thing. And when we came in, and then I left shortly after they left. I left pretty much right after, because I'm a bastard. Because I went over to Jackman's son's Jules' apartment to go play some board games, Cthulhu Wars, I believe is the name of that one. And I came in last place. I feel like I chose a terrible character to play against the other character. Well, mainly one other character, the Ancients. I was the Black Goat. Because I would just love the name. I love goat. Goat. I think of the Adam Sandler sketch about the talking goat, and it was Black Goat. And I didn't realize that it was a super racist character. That really made me laugh after the fact, that the Black Goat starts in West Africa. And oh boy, I feel like I gotta look up. Let's see here, Cthulhu Wars. There we go. I gotta look up Black. Black Goat. God damn it. This is gonna. I'm gonna. How am I gonna? Here we go. There's Cthulhu Wars strategy wiki. I should have maybe read this before going in. I should have played it a lot differently, That's for sure. I mean, I did terrible. I think the first, I played it at least one other time before, and the other time I'm pretty sure I came in like dead last. Okay, in Cthulhu Wars, which I guess is how you pronounce that, pretty much every character has a great old one, which is like your largest creature you can summon out of your gates. And some of the characters I don't think have a great old one. There's like one or two that don't, but the Black Goat does. And the part where it gets like super racist, I think altogether you have Black Goat based on starting in West Africa, and their great old one is, I started taking to calling him just Shub Knight, because it's Shub, S-H-U-B. And maybe I should leave it to you to try to pronounce this correctly, but Shub Dash, N-I-G-G-U-R-A-T-H. Nig Urath? It's not an ER. But I'm just saying, it was hard to say that and not sound like you were just completely just a racist bastard. we can have expansion units to the Black Goat, the Dark Demon. There's other gates. The Black Goat Gate. The Vile Gate. Or it's Gate. Black Goat painted. Anyway, yeah. The problem was Miles, that was that's Jules' friend, he was playing the Ancients, and Shub Knight, as I was calling him, is pretty fucking powerful. It depends, like, he gets more powerful the more other like monsters and stuff you have on board. So like if you have Dark Youngs, as they call them, if you have a bunch of those players out there, then you can really tear some shit up. The Dark Youngs and plus the acolytes that you have out on the board, they make it to where it adds more dice to roll for combat in fighting. And I had, for once I had Shub Knight on the board, I had, you know, pretty much all my Dark Youngs, like right after I got them. And I had like all my acolytes out at one point. So I only did one battle with them. But the problem was, I was going to do a battle with him at one area, but I didn't realize he had all these cathedrals out, and I didn't realize with that cathedral, if I was in that area with one of his cathedrals, he could simply just choose to destroy that cathedral, and it would wipe out Shub Knight, or whatever great old one was there, so... there was no point in me moving a great old one into any area. He had cathedrals, and he had, by the end of the game, he had cathedrals in like everywhere, fucking everywhere. And, that character, the Ancients, he was able to get power like constantly and do stuff for free, to whereas like he was doing way more moves than anybody else. So, I mean, like the cathedrals, man, that, I should have gotten Shub Knight, I think, right out of the gate, because there's ways that you can do it to where you get him pretty much right out of the gate, and then just go like blitzkrieg, like attack right off the bat. And, you know, maybe gone after him, because he was the one that really, because that Shub Knight is the real character, I think, that is the way to play with the Black Goat. You're going Black Goat, which I'm thinking I don't want to go Black Goat again next time I play Cthulhu Wars. But that, I mean, I made that sucker strong. But again, yeah, it was, I just need to learn the game is the problem. Not knowing the game. It's, you know, there's a lot to the game. Maybe I should give Black Goat another another go around at some point. Maybe I will. Maybe I'll give the black goat another dance, another day in court. Just hopefully somebody's not playing the ancients, because that one can wipe out Shub Knight off the board. And then there was, because I would have, I don't know that I would have come in first, but had that not been in play, I could have easily, you know, like won a lot of battles. A lot of battles, because I think when I had it maxed out, I had like 13 dice I was rolling to be able to get kills. And so that would have been pretty cool to go around the board, just start clearing out, stealing gates. But again, yeah, we didn't really fight a whole lot. And because a lot of the reasons why I don't like, or I like to play cooperative board games, is because in games where you're all playing against each other, or, you know, maybe play games where you're on teams, because I feel like it's not as bad, but like when you're playing, everybody is all against each other, especially early game. Nobody wants to attack each other and be the asshole right out of the gate and then just like slowly build up their stuff and like battle in the end. But a lot of those games, like Cthulhu Wars, battling in the end is not going to help you a whole lot, because you need to score points and you're not going to get many points. You don't really get points for battle. You get points for like taking over gates and stuff, but the point is, like, if you want to really beat the other people by, you know, battle is a big thing. If you got, you know, a big great old one like Shub Knight, you can, you know, you take them out early before they have a chance to build gates and do other things that do give you power to do more things and get points. Like, getting gates is, like, one of the most important things. Gates, man. Gates. And I'm not talking about Bill Gates and Russian hookers. I'm talking about gates that spawn creatures. The problem is, too, like, I didn't, you know that character that well. And also, every character does different shit. And you got to know what every character does. So not knowing all that, yeah, it sucked. Sucked. But I knew I was gonna suck. And knowing you're gonna suck is something? I don't know. Or not. Anyway. Yeah, it was, Cthulhu Wars is fun. They were going to play Twilight Imperium. They called me while I was out at the Viking Fest, and Twilight Imperium, I think on average takes like 8 hours. That is if you like played the game before and you know it real well. I've never played it before, so they would have to like teach me. And I don't know it at all. So they were saying like it would probably take more like 12, 13 hours to play if you're you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And, I didn't have 12 or 13 hours. That's a lot of time for a board game, man. I generally like games that I'm fine if they last an hour or two. I'm cool with that. But damn, when you start doing like 4 or 5 hours, like that's a bit rough. That's a bit rough. I do like a lot of board games. You know, they're fun. Problem is when I play like games that last that long too, it's the games I've never played before. So I have to learn them. And then almost like never play those games again. Or if I do, it's like a year or two later and then I've forgotten how to play any of the fucking game. So it's a bit of a problem. You know, so if I played Twilight Imperium, which I hear is an awesome game, but again, do I want to play a board game for 8 hours? I mean, I'd do it like once or twice, but I definitely wouldn't want to do that all the damn time. That is something that would be a little rough. Man, I'm looking at the stats for the podcast right now just because I had that page open on my web browser. And, man, I got a lot of bandwidth coming out of Vietnam. I don't know that I've ever seen that much bandwidth come out of Vietnam. I don't know what's up with that, but hello. And, like, have I talked about Vietnam in a while? I mean, are they, like, listening to this to get a read on, you know, just... I don't know. As a man, yeah, there's a like 39 gigs of bandwidth. That's for this show. That's quite a bit. Or 36 gigs. Anyway, for these numbers, I don't get a whole lot of numbers on this show, but I find it weird when just like one country all of a sudden just gets a lot of bandwidth. Like what spurred it? I'm very curious. So hit me up at radioalbrecht@gmail.com if you want to message me. I don't ever really talk to, the people that listen to it. It's a weird thing. But I'm trying to think if, like, I talked about Vietnam at all. I feel like maybe I did just because of the fact that, we're in a major war with Iran now. Thankfully, we don't have boots on the ground. It would appear that at some point we're going to have boots on the ground. Right now we're just carpet bombing Tehran and just, you know, killing a fuck ton of civilians, which is really fucking horrible. But, but I was going to say, yeah, I mean, it is, but, anyway, it's very much Vietnam situation here. My boys are getting off Call of Duty. Not Call of Duty, sorry. Ark Raiders. We're playing Ark Raiders. bastards. Not one to stick around. I'm about to finish this and they're saying they're getting off in this round. Little bitches. Anyway, yeah. I'm curious to why that happens sometimes with the different countries all of a sudden just having a decent amount of bandwidth. Again, for a normal podcast, one that's, you know, a popular one, that's nothing. That's like no numbers. This one, that's like a big burst. It's a big burst. I am very interested in why people listen and why all of a sudden just in a foreign country I start seeing bandwidth. But you know, hell, that might just be bots and stuff. I don't know how this shit really works out. I could just be talking to AI at this point. Could be ChatGPT could be what's really listening to me, and what are some of the other large language models? I'm blanking. Anyway, Claude, maybe Claude's listening. I feel like I'd be more honored if Claude listened than ChatGPT, that's for sure. It is kind of nice to know that AI bubble's starting to burst, though I know that's going to completely tank the world economy as well as, you know, the war with Iran and everything. But I am tired of all these, you know, data centers being built that just fucking ruin all the land around it. Because there's one that's going to be built around here in this area. I believe like right next to Shaw Nature Reserve, they're trying to build a data center. And it's going to kill off the land around there. Shaw's a pretty sweet area if you ever, you know, want to go like walking or running. I think that you can ride a bike through there, but it's got some real nice trails out there. And, you know, just being out in the wilderness, in a protected wilderness, pretty great. I hope that doesn't go through. And, those big fucking data centers ruin all that shit. And they, you know, take up a lot of fucking power. They waste a lot of energy. And they initially, when they're built, create a lot of jobs for building and construction, but once they're up, they take away jobs. You know, it's just a fucking, just a massive waste, in my opinion. So what, I can do some fucking slop shit? I can have some fucking drawing of me made by AI? Like what the some shitty ass drawing or whatever? Fucking waste, man. fucking waste. I even forgot where the fuck I was going with that. Just, you know, go outside and touch some grass over in Shaw Nature Reserve. This is a good point, I guess, to make there. Oh, yeah, I was talking about AI bots, like, listening to me. whereas that shit's just, like, taking over the world. It'd be weird if, like, I was the one training AI how to, like, you know, learn English or something. is there a big... Does Vietnam have a big AI model? Is that why I'm getting some bandwidth? I would think I would see more bandwidth, though, if there was, like... like, they going through, like, every episode, you know, really doing a deep dive. I can see, like, what episodes were downloaded, like, top downloads. And, you know, I've got, like, of course, like, the recent, most recent episodes are usually up there near the top. But then I've got, like, episode 28. I'm not even sure what episode 28 was. Oh, shit. Didn't want... Didn't want that. Anyway, we'll just pull episode 28 up real fast. Real fast. Let's see here. Searching 28. What do we got here? 628. No, we don't want 628. As there's a lot of 28, just regular 28s. Episode 28. Todd and Matt. Trebejo. And Todd, we're on that one. Origin of the 1-2-3. That one, we're talking about that one place in my nuts are shrinking. That was a classic one. And acid flashbacks. So that was definitely that was a classic. Man, from 2013. Some bitch. That was a long, long time ago. episode 35 was up when I searched this too. I don't know why. 28, but talk about my first trip to the gay bar. So that's fun, and it's got the picture of the toilet from JJ's that I was impressed that the bowl itself had the guy's face, the shape of a bowl, and I actually just shared that picture with my friend out there. I told her about that recently. Anyway, that's really all I've got. Yeah, so as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.